Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You are listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. As you know, every Tuesday we catch up with WNYC planning editor Kate Hines to get an update on what the newsroom has covered, is covering, and will be covering in the future. We call it Kate Has a Plan. We had a plan, and then news broke. Of course, today we're talking about New York Attorney General Tish James's press conference on the findings of her office's investigation into the allegations of sexual assault and harassment against Governor Cuomo. You know what? We are going to take your calls. What you're thinking about this, how you're thinking about this, 646-435-7280. Listeners, we'd like to get you in on this conversation. Your thoughts on the investigation into Governor Cuomo. If you don't know the details, listen a little bit with Kate Hines and, of course, WNYC's Gwen Hogan, who has also been reporting this story. Kate, thanks for being with us on such a busy news day.
Thank you for having me.
And Gwen, are you there as well?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. Gwen, I'm going to have you start. You were at the presser, correct?
That's right.
Yep. Okay, first, tell us what happened from the very top of the presser, what Attorney General Tish James laid out.
So we had been summoned to this press conference. It was not confirmed until moments before that it was going to be the findings of this report that we've been waiting for since mid-March, after all of these women started to come forward with allegations of sexual harassment against the governor. Attorney General Tish James spoke, I've seen her at many events, and she's, she can be very forceful, but she's sort of like, was very calm and reserved at this press conference. She spoke briefly. She said that this report finds that Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women and created a toxic climate of fear in his office, and that there were multiple violations of federal and state laws that protect against this kind of environment.
And I actually think we have a clip of tape from Attorney General Letitia James speaking earlier this morning, if you want to hit that, Juliana.
This investigation has revealed conduct that corrodes the very fabric and character of our state government and shines light on injustice that can be present at the highest levels of government.
So that's pretty dire. I mean, she's using pretty serious language there.
Right. And she spoke briefly, and then she introduced the two investigators that she tapped to conduct this report. Again, she had picked these external people to avoid any conflict of potential, or to avoid any appearance of conflict of interest from her office. So these investigators, a former federal prosecutor and a labor attorney, described their findings in more detail.
Listeners, we do want to hear from you on this breaking news, the findings that Governor Cuomo, this report says, was responsible for various accounts of sexual harassment and misconduct by this independent investigation organized by State Attorney General Letitia James' office. What's your reaction to the news? Do you view this situation differently after the report was released? Give us a call, 646-435-7280. Or do these findings not change your mind and your support of Governor Cuomo? We'd like to know why on that fact, too. 646-435-7280. So, Kate, in terms of, first of all, Cuomo has not yet responded, but there's a presser, is that correct?
Right. He's not yet responded, but he will respond. He just sent around a notice a few minutes ago saying he's going to respond at 1 p.m. So depending on whether that starts on time or not, it'll be 1 or close to 1, but we are going to carry that live here on WNYC.
Let's go to Joe, who's calling in on line 1 from Greenwich Village. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling All of It. Let's get your thoughts on the news of the day. Oh, do we have Joe on the line yet? We do not have Joe on the line yet. Gwen, have any New York State leaders put out statements in response to today's findings yet?
Yeah, so we've seen that that Andrea Stewart Cousins, the head of the state assembly, has called for his resignation, which she had previously done. And really what we're looking for is how Carl Hastie, the head of the assembly, is going to react, because he has the power to initiate impeachment proceedings. And we know that there is an ongoing investigation in the state assembly. There's been a reluctance to vote for impeachment. And so they launched their own probe into Governor Cuomo's conduct. And he put out a statement saying that the findings of this report are deeply disturbing and that we'll be hearing more from him, his office, soon.
Let's go back to our callers. Joe is on line 1 from the Village. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me on. I love your show. I've just been reading, bits and pieces that are coming out in the press. I haven't read the report, but it's just, I mean, it's a confirmation of what everyone has known. There's just a toxic work environment and then the abuse and harassment on top of it. He needs to resign immediately. And for people who say he's doing his work, like, look at how they just botched this federal aid money for people who are facing eviction. So this administration is not serving us in any way, and especially not serving the employees that he's harassing and abusing.
Joe, thank you so much. So, Kate, I want to dig in a little bit. So this is this was a 5-month long investigation.
Right.
They spoke with, do you have the numbers, the amount of, number of people
they said they spoke with 179 people and went through over 79,000 documents, and documents include things like, you know, text messages and conversations with people, and they substantiated harassment in 11 cases, 9 of whom were current or former state employees, and I guess 2 who were not. There were a lot of things that we had already known and heard about that the governor denied. And then there were things that we knew we had not heard anything about, such as his harassment of a state trooper who went on to become assigned to his personal security detail after the governor noticed her and took a liking to her. And she described, you know, what is probably best described as unwanted touches, like he's sort of running his finger beyond her spine when he stood behind her in the elevator, from her neck to like the base of her spine, you know, really upsetting and creepy things. But we also learned more than the actual harassment itself was what his staff did to protect him and to mount an attack against his accusers. And that may be something, Gwen, that you want to speak to. I don't know. You know, Gwen certainly has done more reporting on this than me.
Yeah, Gwen, follow up.
Right. Well, they sort of described some of the stuff that has been reported previously by multiple outlets in terms of the retaliation against employees who tried to voice out, specifically around Lindsay Boylan and her accounts of the governor's office kind of harassing her and attempting to publish this op-ed that sort of slandered her name. The op-ed was never published, but it had insinuated that she was like being paid by Trump, pro-Trump activists. So sort of this concerted effort to discredit this woman who had raised concerns about her being sexually harassed in her workplace.
I'm speaking with WNYC's Kate Hines and Gwen Hogan. Of course, we're discussing the breaking news, the allegations against Governor Andrew Cuomo. Our phone lines are pretty full. We're going to take a quick break and we'll get to your calls. This is All of It. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. The New York conversation today is around New York State Attorney General Letitia James issuing her findings regarding allegations of harassment against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Joining us with WNYC's Gwen Hogan and Kate Hines. And of course, we want to get your take, listeners, on what you've been hearing. And Gwen and Kate, if you want to ask any follow-up questions to our All of It listeners, who are a really good, smart bunch, please feel free to jump in after. Let's go to Virginia, who has been holding, and Virginia, I believe, is calling in from Minneapolis. Hi, Virginia.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call. I would say, after hearing the detailed testimony from the victims, I was really shocked, and it really surprises me that it was kind of kept under the rug for, you know, all of these months, and it's really confusing mm-hmm. to try to think of, you know, Andrew Cuomo, our leader, someone who is looking out for not only New Yorkers, but also setting the tone for how we should be handling COVID and really being, you know, not a great example of a leader. Kind of disappointed.
Thank you for calling in. Anna's calling in from Brooklyn on line 3. Hi, Anna. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, I just wanted to say I told the screener I used to work for the city going back over a decade ago and had multiple friends who work for the state. And Cuomo's bullying behavior was kind of well known by state employees then. And I would say, you know, watch any of his press conferences. I mean, you know, he's kind of got that Trump thing of like the best defense is a good offense. and, you know, certainly has a history of shutting down, you know, the Moreland Commission when it started to look back at him. I mean, I think this has been his MO for decades, really, and, you know, maybe the sexual piece of it is new, but certainly his kind of bullying and kind of going after people behavior doesn't surprise me in the least.
Anna, thank you so much for calling. And Gwen, I want to follow up with you. You know, sort of we've heard these kind of stories over and again, the open secret. I know that you've actually spoken with at least one of the women involved who was interviewed for this investigation. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I've been going through attorneys for some of the other women, but I had spoken to Annalise early on before she came forward with her story publicly. We had run a story where she was anonymous, and then a few days later that gave her the confidence to want to really put her name to it, and then she spoke on the record with the Wall Street Journal about what had happened to her. She was a very young woman in her mid-20s when she worked in Cuomo's offices. This was about a decade ago at this point. And she described, you know, she came to the Capitol on this fellowship and was blonde and young, and she very quickly got a seat sort of very close to the governor in his executive suites, which, unlike any of the other dozens of people who were in this fellowship, one of Cuomo senior staffer Stephanie Benton had told her, "Oh, when Andy's in Albany, you gotta wear heels," and had also sort of coached her about her professional appearance. She was told that Cuomo liked blondes. He regularly kissed her on the cheek, and, you know, made comments about her having a boyfriend. It was, you know, it wasn't as explicit as some of the accounts that later emerged. Women like Charlotte Bennett, who was explicitly propositioned by the governor, according to, you know, her account, and now this attorney general report. But it was sort of it. She described this sort of toxic culture where you were either treated like a doll and, you know, a sort of an object to be observed, while she was sort of hearing shouting and, you know, very vitriolic tirades, mm-hmm, at anyone who had crossed the governor. So it sort of was this overall toxic culture that eventually made her leave Albany altogether and leave state government.
And Kate, I know, as an experienced news person who has covered this governor extensively and have been in the WNYC newsroom, again, to the idea of open secrets, everyone knew he was perhaps a difficult person to work with. From what you've read and seen so far, what from this report and what from the news conference this morning goes over that line of being tough to work for, being a little bit old school, I think was the phrase that was used?
Right. Well, that, you know, that was part of the governor's defense. When he first responded to these allegations, he was sort of contrite and regretful. And, you know, he started this in late February saying, you know, "I understand that my interactions may have been insensitive or too personal. And I'm really sorry about that. You know, it was unintentional." And then, like, in the next few months, as people start digging in and it becomes clear that this issue is not going away, we see, you know, Cuomo's public-facing persona kind of change to the point, you know, where we've got, you know, where we had contrition, we now have something where he's like, basically, "It's not my problem if you're offended by me, and I'm a touchy-feely guy, and I'm Italian-American," to where we were recently, which is, you know, "I want to wait for this report to come out, and I can't wait for this report to come out, because you are going to hear my side of the story, and it's going to be amazing." But what we know now is that behind the scenes, Cuomo is strategizing with not just his staff, but his brother, Chris Cuomo, who hosts a show on CNN, about how to position himself so that the public finds him believable. And that is, you know, that I'm going to be very interested to see how CNN handles this for Chris Cuomo, because that certainly crosses a journalistic line.
And we've seen him in, you know, you talked about this early tone of wait for the report, due process, the report, the report. Him and his allies sort of saying, "We're going to do this the right way," to a shift, a marked shift in the last few weeks, where he sort of started to sow doubt about the integrity of this investigation, saying this was politically motivated, that, you know, insinuating through a spokesperson that Tish James wants to run for governor next year. And to these efforts to sort of undermine the credibility of this report. report. That was something that Tish James addressed directly today, as did the investigators, that this was, you know, a above board, impartial investigation with hundreds of interviews conducted.
If you were just joining us, we are discussing the report that came out today that says Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women. It was a state investigation. Letitia James, the state attorney general, had a press conference earlier this morning, and the governor is expected to have a press conference at the top of the hour. We will be taking that live on WNYC. We are also taking your calls, getting your thoughts on the big news of the day. Gustavo has been holding. Hi, Gustavo. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to speak to this problem. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you. I love your show. Thank you for taking my call. But I want to speak to this problem of there being no accountability, because whenever anybody in power that is on your side does something, people say something like, oh, but look, he's getting the work done. Or in this case, oh, look what Trump did. He didn't get in trouble for this. Why is he going to get in trouble for this? This behavior is wrong, period. And then that's why this behavior becomes this open secret, because everyone just allows it to happen because it's the people on their side. So just that's all I want to say was it's wrong, period.
Max, thank you so much for calling in. Yeah, Gwen, this is such an interesting, Max kind of opens up an interesting line of conversation about the politics of this. Mm-hmm. What are some of the subtleties that might not be clear about the politics of this?
Well,
Gustavo, I'm sorry, that was Ms. Gustavo.
I mean, what he said, you know, reminds me of something that a very old source of mine always said, which is the law is what you get away with. And it's really about, I mean, as we said, we don't really know what's going to happen next after this report has come out. You know, we're expecting Cuomo to address these remarks and anything, you know, who knows what he will say. He's been very defensive for, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks. So, I mean, anything could happen. But I think, you know, really like it comes down to what the assembly sort of chooses to do at this point. You know, there's calls among some assembly members to move towards impeachment, and some more left leaning members of the legislature, the state Senate as well. But, you know, I can't pretend to guess as to what the next 24 hours are going to hold for us.
Let's go to Emma, who's calling in from Brooklyn on line 3. Hi, Emma. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hey, thanks for having me. I kind of just want to echo what Gustavo said. I mean, like, we're seeing, like, there's no difference between the politicians and, like, the sides that they're on. We're seeing Democrats doing this. We're seeing Republicans doing this. And at a certain point, we have to change the way power works in this country. Like, we're just going to see, we see it happen across the board in every field. This is not unusual. This is actually like part of the norm.
Thank you, Emma, for calling in. Let's get to Max. Max has been holding as well. Hi, Max. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Allison. I love your show. Very interesting topics. You know what really irks me is the fact that, you know, the governor's been in power. He's had these other scandals with the nursing homes and about COVID.
What about coming out?
And then, you know, a regular person, you know, would basically have already been arrested and sent to jail. But meanwhile, even, you know, fondling a state trooper, it's like, yeah, we're working on a civil case. What is that all about? How can you call that justice?
Max,
that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, appreciate that comment, Max. Thanks so much. So, Gwen and Kate, you know, we're going up to 59:33, and then we believe the governor will be coming on at 1 o'clock. But Kate, I want to follow up on what Max was saying about the legality of mm-hmm. some of the things we heard today.
Yeah, this is a question that we're reporting out right now and trying to find answers to. But the impression from Tish James today was basically like, I have done my investigation. It is now in the hands of authorities. You know, one of the things that had been substantiated was Cuomo grabbing a woman's breast. That report is with the Albany Police Department because it occurred in that jurisdiction. We don't know what's going to happen there. We have calls out to the Albany Police Department. You know, certainly the governor has now been opened up to civil lawsuits, I would think. This is pretty obvious. But other legal liability, we don't know.
You've been listening to WNYC's live coverage of Governor Cuomo's reaction to the sexual harassment allegations against him. I'm Allison Stewart. Joining me are WNYC's Kate Hines, as well as Gothamist executive editor Jen Chung. It seemed, Kate, that the governor had an outline. He had things he wanted to say, bullet points he wanted to make, including casting himself somewhat as a feminist, which was kind of interesting, as well as highlighting generational and cultural differences. What was your first reaction?
Well, it was that, you know, we've come full circle and he is back to where he was in February when these allegations first came out, where he's saying things like, I understand that what I have said may have offended people, and I am so sorry. I now understand there were generational or cultural perspectives that I haven't fully appreciated. But there were a number of sort of Easter eggs littered throughout his comments that really highlight for me that we are talking about an old school politician making an old school appeal to his base. He referenced his father. Anytime he mentions Mario Cuomo, you know who he's speaking to. He referenced his heritage. This is not who I am. I'm doing important work. He does not take on any of the, you know, really serious allegations that the report lays out, other than flatly denying that he grabbed a woman, but saying basically, you know, I welcome this to come out in a court of law, put me in front of a jury, but, you know, the courts are going to have to handle that. But he sort of elides a lot of the details that we heard in the report to move forward by saying, you know, I understand that I've made mistakes. We're going to have new and better sexual harassment training. And by the way, you don't want this to be a normal 9-to-5 workplace. We have serious work to do. We're here on the behalf of the people of New York. I understand that there were complaints relating to work environment. We're an intense bunch of people.
Also on the line with us is WNYC's Brian Lehrer. Brian, what jumped out to you listening to Governor Cuomo?
Well, first of all the things that Kate said. And in addition to that, it seemed like a set of classic defenses that people use when they are charged with these kinds of things. He talked in great detail about the one charge from the one person that bothers him most, Charlotte Bennett. And he said he thought he was helping her get through her trauma from past sexual abuse by the way he would talk to her and engage with her, and now he realizes that was wrong. It's also very old school in the way I think that Kate was saying, you know, thinking that whatever that kind of engagement was, whatever that kind of banter was something that would help a young woman with him, an older man, who was dealing with past sexual abuse in her own life. I think it fits with some of the other things that he said about his behavior, as if it was several decades ago, as if he himself had not been involved in new sexual harassment laws and sexual harassment codes. I do kiss people on the cheek. I do kiss people on the forehead and on the hand, men and women and everyone. I do slip and call people sweetheart and darling sometimes. I make jokes, some better than others. For somebody who does fashion himself a progressive contemporary male, so much of the behavior seems left over from an older generation. And perhaps he talked about Charlotte Bennett in such detail because that's the most serious set of charges. I haven't seen exactly what's attributed to her in this report. But perhaps those are the most serious charges that he felt he needed to respond to in the most detail. And then, of course, he attacked the press. He said the New York Times published a front page photo of him kissing a woman on the cheek at a wedding. And he said that is not front page news. Besides the fact that he does it with everyone, it's just the way he behaves. It's not some kind of crime. And then again, he tried to turn it around as similar to the press is the perpetrator here. People who are targeting some of the some of the women who were his top aides, he's trying to make it seem like sexism against them. If people are criticizing, he didn't mention any of his aides by name, so I won't, but whoever they are, he asked, when have you ever seen male managers accused of working people too hard? And so trying to make himself and the other people who are accused here the victim. So those are some of the things that jumped right out at me.
And Jen Chung, I want to bring you into the conversation because the governor ended with by invoking COVID and saying, hey, we have business to do. We need to get our state back on track. This is what is important. Don't let this distract from getting COVID under control and getting the state back on its feet. But I am sure over at Gothamist, you're not going to let it go.
I mean, this comes from Donald Trump's playbook as well, saying, like, don't listen to this other noise. I'm in this position of power. Keep me, you know, in place so I can enact all of these things for all of you, my public. And I can't get out of my head the fact that when The New Yorker published their report, and that was not an AG's actual report, about Eric Schneiderman's behavior with women, Cuomo said he needs to resign. He needs to step aside. And, you know, just his sort of tone in trying to, like, basically discredit some of these women in this moment is just, as Brian and Kate have said, a very old school move. And, you know, I don't know if this is where society is going at this point.
I'm sure that he would say, from his point of view, that there's no comparison between the genuinely creepy and allegedly violent things that Eric Schneiderman was accused of and the kind of banter and mild social touching that he's accused of. I think from his point of view, if the Eric Schneiderman example comes up, he's going to say there's just no comparison here in the types of behavior.
You are listening to WNYC's special coverage of the breaking news of the day, the allegations against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. The report that was released today, New York State Attorney General Letitia James, her findings regarding the allegations of harassment against the governor. The governor spoke out at the top of the hour. We've got the whole WNYC News Squad in the house. We also want to get you involved in this conversation. Of course, if you want to tell us what you're thinking, either about what the governor has said, if you want to hear, tell us what you're thinking about the report, if you want to tell us what you think about the politics of this, please do give us a call. 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. You can also go to the All of It Twitter account, at All of It WNYC, and tell us what you're thinking. We'll have more with Kate Hines, Jen Chung, and Brian Lehr after the break. You are listening to WNYC's breaking news coverage of the allegations against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. I'm Allison Stewart. Joining me are WNYC's Kate Hines and Brian Lehr, as well as Gothamist Executive Editor Jen Chung. The tweets have been coming in. New York Councilmember Brad Lander has tweeted, Governor Cuomo should have resigned in March. He should resign now. If he does not, he should be impeached. If he is not, he should be defeated at the polls. One of the women at the center of all of these allegations, Charlotte Bennett, simply tweeted, resign at New York Governor Cuomo. Kate, I want to go to you because earlier today, one of the attorneys that spoke actually talked quite a bit about Charlotte Bennett and her case. Will you fill us in and we'll hear a little bit of that? Right. In the report, which I just want to mention again in case we haven't said it, if you can find it on the Gothamist website in the story. It's embedded in the article, and I think you should really read it and go through it. It's incredible what I've been able to read so far. But and this piece is also in the report. But June Kim, one of the attorneys, was reading a message that Charlotte Bennett, who Cuomo was just talking about, we were talking about, sent to Lindsay Boylan. They are both former staffers and accusers, and this is what Charlotte said to Lindsay.
I was scared to imagine what would happen if I rejected him. So I disappeared instead. My time in public service ended because he was bored and lonely. It still breaks my heart.
WNYC is...
Yeah, so we know that Charlotte Bennett left public service. Lindsay Boylan, of course, has run for public office herself so far unsuccessfully, but I don't think that she will be going away. But what I want to just make sure that listeners really hear in what we heard from Cuomo earlier is that Cuomo is saying that Charlotte Bennett, because of her history of sexual assault and his history with a family member who has experienced sexual assault, he was sort of overenthusiastic in offering his help, and she was so blinded by her own experience that she couldn't correctly interpret what he was saying to her. Which, for me, you had asked me earlier what was one of the more startling things. That is really one of the more startling things that I think, you know, a lot of listeners may feel like is gaslighting. It's just, it's kind of remarkable.
We actually have a listener, Lara, on line 8, calling in from Manhattan, who, too, like you, Kate, was struck by that comment, but for a little bit of a different reason. Lara, thank you for calling All of It. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, that really jumped out at me that he mentioned this family member who may or may not be public about the fact that she was was sexually assaulted, and here he is kind of using her and outing her as an excuse for what he did to somebody else, or for getting involved in this other woman's life. That was really shocking to me.
Lara, thank you so much for calling in. Let's go to James calling in from Queens on line 5. James, thanks for calling WNYC. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm really curious if Governor Cuomo does step down, either from resignation or impeachment, who would replace him, and ultimately, how involved have they been in this sort of toxic culture that he created? And lastly, I just want to say that I think his attitude has been very flip and arrogant in the face of these allegations, and it's really just a shame and a disservice to a lot of New Yorkers across the state. Thank you.
Ryan, you want to jump in there?
Well, I think that his arrogance is an issue. His arrogance has always been an issue, and he sees it as something that is a symbol of strength. One of the reasons that he gets things done, of course, he wouldn't use the term arrogant, I imagine. But again, if he's in the mode of saying that people conflate things that he does with other things that they perceive, but that he didn't really do or didn't really intend, you know, this might fit into that. They see him as arrogant. He sees himself as strong. But this played out a little bit in the nursing home scandal as well, where when things started to come out and he was starting to be criticized, particularly by Assemblymember Ron Kim, according to Kim anyway, Cuomo called him at home and disparaged him and basically threatened him. And so we see that pattern, at least allegedly, at work. And it goes beyond the charges of sexual harassment.
And Kate, I'm going to ask you to weigh in on the beginning part of James's question. What happens should the governor decide to step down, let's say tomorrow?
We have a lieutenant governor, Kathy Hochul, who has been his lieutenant governor for a number of years now. She is the sort of like the person who is designed to hold the upstate Democratic base. She is moderate. She's a woman. And she's in New York City today, which I find really, really interesting. That was my first sense that, oh, maybe the Attorney General's press conference at 11 a.m. is going to be something, because Kathy Hochul normally does not come south of Albany. I'm only being, you know, slightly facetious here, but she really spends most of her time upstate, Broome County, Albany, etc. So she is going to be in the Bronx. We know that Governor Cuomo has a very strong base of support with voters who are voters of color, Latino, African American. I'm pretty sure that Kathy Hochul is going to be making an appeal to them today. You know, she's got Governor Cuomo's back. That's what she's here to do. But, you know, for all I know, she is trying to raise her political profile. But what sounded really clear to me from Cuomo speaking now, not only is this man who is not resigning, he's defiant. He is basically unrepentant. He's sorry that you have misunderstood what he said and his intentions, but he is not going anywhere.
Yeah, I want to ask a behind-the-scenes question, Kate, because you said when you realized that the lieutenant governor was in New York, maybe something was going on. How much of a heads-up did the WNYC newsroom have that this was happening today?
That's a good question. Jen may have a better sense than I do, because I was sort of reading the tea leaves. You know, it seems that Attorney General James runs a pretty tight press shop. Mm-hmm. You know, she will often send out press releases that say she's making an announcement at noon, and she won't say what it is. And then I'll get calls from NPR saying, is this going to be a big deal? And I have to say, you know, I really have no idea. But based on the reporting in the Times yesterday about Governor Cuomo's 11-hour conversation with investigators, and based on Kathy Hochul's public schedule, you know, probably around 10:30, we started to understand this was really going to be about the report.
Yeah, Jen, did you want to jump in there?
Well, what was interesting from the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal stories yesterday, it was suggesting that maybe the probe would wrap up by the end of the month. So, you know, as Kate said, the Attorney General's presser today could have been about something completely different, but she usually has a Q&A, and we wanted to be there in case she would respond to Cuomo's repeated attempts to discredit the investigation.
Let's get our listeners in on the big news of the day, the allegations against New York Governor New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, as well as we should say that the governor has denied everything, denied that anything inappropriate happened and that any of his behaviors have been interpreted in a way that he did not mean them. He denied it from the top, we should say that. And Elsa on line 7 listened in, and she has some thoughts about that. Hi, Elsa. Thanks for calling WNYC.
Hello. Thank you so much. I think we all needed a minute, I think. But just in terms of top of the hour, usually at 7, we all usually have a minute.
Yes.
And I was like, I needed that probably. But I don't know if it's a valuable point or anything, but, you know, for somebody who has heard about these news and kind of has, you know, read the top layer of it, and then just hearing his speech, how effective it is, and how, like, I'm completely listening to it all, and I'm just buying it. And I know, and I catch myself doing that, because I know also, like, you know nothing about this matter, but you're, like, totally, and that's, like, so I just kind of wanted to point it out, or just, you know, I've become aware that it's just, like, so rooted in the discourse of our society, that we kind of just like hear it and swallow it, and like, yeah, you're this old man, you know, from another generation, it doesn't mean anything, and like, yeah, you know, she's one of the, you know, so it's just, and I'm a feminist in my 20s, and even like so used to, you know, men like that and everything, but still, so I just wanted to point that out, and also wondered if there's any counter press conference from the victims, and you guys in the media maybe know better than us than if that's even attractive, because we see this so many times, like big politicians doing these press conferences and they win the debate over. So yeah, I just wanted to point that out, that, you know, that you are that one is completely buying it.
Elsa, thanks for calling in. Yeah, Brian, I want to follow up Elsa's question with the idea of Governor Cuomo as an effective communicator. To her point, she's a feminist, she's in her 20s, and as he began to lay out his case, very much like an attorney that he is, that she found herself a bit being lulled into it. In all your years of covering Governor Cuomo, what are his strengths as a communicator and in times like this, and then what do you think as a media professional are his weaknesses?
Well, I would say his strengths as a communicator start with being strong. We come back to that, what he perceives as strong and in charge. People like that somebody seems in charge. I think that was a positive comparison that a lot of people made between him and de Blasio, certainly at the beginning of the COVID era and maybe through most of it, where de Blasio seemed to be waffling on this or that. Cuomo was large and in charge. So I think that was a strength from a pure PR standpoint in this presentation as well. I think one of the big weaknesses is, as we touched on earlier, that the strength bleeds into arrogance. And he's so political that he will do something that to me looked very transparent today when he tried to pivot to the work ahead on COVID. Jen pointed out earlier that he seemed Trumpy in a certain respect. One thing like that that jumped out at me was when he was making that pivot to say, I can't be distracted, and he used that phrase, that I can't be distracted, like this is just a distraction, after he went through that whole litany of ways that he takes the women in his office seriously, then he sort of writes it off as a distraction and says, I can't be distracted from the work ahead having to do with COVID. And I don't know if we went on to talk about other things. I think that's when we cut away. Mm-hmm. But he also said, my job is not about me, it's about you, which of course is true. But I do remember Donald Trump saying many a time, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you by coming after me. So when he does things that look really transparently political, I'd say that's a weakness.
Let's talk to Jenny, who's been holding. Jenny's calling in from Prospect Heights. She is on line 8. Hi, Jenny. Thank you for calling WNYC, and thank you in advance for sharing your personal story.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'm a survivor of sexual assault, and I've been pretty open about that with everyone I work with. I actually work in TV production, and so we have our own thing going on, but I cannot imagine a male boss of mine in the 20 years I've been working hugging me, and I don't know who needs to hear this, but if any 63-year-old boss is out there, you like actually just don't have to touch women at work. It's okay. And I think, you know, I think that when I've shared my story, the reaction I've gotten from my male bosses is to be more respectful and more deferential. And yeah, that's all I have to say.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you sharing it. We do want to play a little bit of the presser, of Governor Cuomo's presser. In this section, it's part of his remarks where he talked about the anti-harassment workshops and other initiatives to make state offices healthy and safe workplaces. And it's sort of a bit of a nod to him wrapping himself a little bit in his quote-unquote feminism. Let's take a listen.
But now, a number of complaints target female managers, which smacks to me of a double standard. First, when have you ever seen male managers maligned and villainized for working long hours or holding people accountable or for being tough? A strong male manager is respected and rewarded. But a strong female manager is ridiculed and stereotyped. It is a double standard. It is sexist, and it must be challenged.
Jen Chung, I want to bring you in on that pivot. What did you make of that pivot from the conversation about his actions to the actions of others against women in his administration and people who work for him?
I mean, he's just trying to distract people from his own behavior. And, you know, what I just find crazy, and that actually we are talking about in the newsroom right now, is on March 3rd, he said, I ask the people of the state to wait for the facts from the Attorney General's report before forming an opinion. Get the facts. You know, I will fully cooperate with the investigation. You get to make, you know, the decision when you know the facts. And he told us earlier that he wanted us to wait for this report. Now the report comes out and he, you know, is trying to tell us and make these excuses for his own behavior. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, this is now in the Assembly's court. So I think that's what we're all wondering and seeing if, you know, they will have their investigation and whether or not it finds similar things to the AG's report.
We will pick up with that conversation after a quick break. You're listening to WNYC's rolling news coverage of the breaking news of the day. The report from the New York State Attorney General's office citing allegations of harassment and a toxic workplace from New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who then responded and denied all of the allegations. We'll take more of your calls. We'll learn a little bit about what an impeachment process could look like after a quick break. Stay with us. You are listening to WNYC's coverage of the breaking news of the day. Earlier this morning, New York State Attorney General Letitia James issued her findings regarding allegations of harassment against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. They were many. They were disturbing. The governor held his own press conference about 40 minutes ago, denying all of the allegations and any of the intent that the allegations suggested. We've been getting a lot of questions. Joining me, some WNYC All-Stars, Jen Chung of Gothamist, Kate Hines, WNYC Planning Editor, and Brian Lehrer. We've been getting a lot of questions about process in the Assembly. So, Brian, what happens in the Assembly as a result of all these allegations?
Well, they have an impeachment investigation that's underway. There was a time some weeks or months ago, might have even been months ago by now, when the Assembly Speaker, Carl Hastie, said it was irrelevant to their process what came out in the Attorney General's report. I think it's hard to stick to that position now. And the Assembly was investigating other things having to do with the nursing home scandal and the covering up of who died of COVID where, and things like that that have been alleged against the governor. Now, I think they can't ignore it. And I think that it is entirely political. As we know from the Donald Trump experiences, that impeachment processes are. So I think a lot of the members of the Assembly are going to hear from their constituents or reach out to their constituents and find out how angry people are, what percentage of people are defending the governor, and what percentage of people are saying he's got to go. And I think there are a lot of members of the Assembly who haven't taken really strong positions. Some have called for him to resign. Others are kind of trying to take a wait and see approach. But if what they're waiting to see is going to be an avalanche of calls for the governor's resignation from their own constituents, then members are going to flip. I think it's also going to be interesting to see the Democratic versus Republican dynamics here. You know, Republicans will vote in a heartbeat if they're given the opportunity for the impeachment of a Democratic governor. On the other hand, it would be more traditionally their position to say sexual harassment charges tend to be overblown. So what's going to happen here? But I imagine that Republicans in the Assembly would be ready to impeach Cuomo by and large, which means you don't need that many Democrats to say that to get just a majority of that body. But I think, you know, that could present a dilemma for Speaker Carl Hastie. Would he want to move forward on impeaching Cuomo with a lot of Republicans and a few Democrats? That makes up a majority. But my gut tells me that he won't be in that position, that many more Democrats than have previously are going to come around to wanting him gone. However, they are going to come back potentially to the term due process, because even after this report, with so much evidence, it is alleged evidence at this point, and he is entitled to his point-by-point defense, as he started to lay out in his statement. And so we may be in for a period of being very in the weeds of back and forth about the details of the Attorney General's report.
We do want to say that Senators Schumer and Gillibrand have issued a joint statement on Governor Cuomo. I will read it as follows. It says, as we have said before, the reported actions of the governor were profoundly disturbing, inappropriate, and completely unacceptable. Today's report from the New York State Attorney General substantiated and corroborated the allegations of the brave women who came forward to share their stories, and we commend the women for doing so. The New York State Attorney General has conducted an independent, thorough, and professional investigation that found the governor violated state and federal law, had a pattern of sexual harassing current and former employees, retaliated against at least one of the accusers, and created a hostile work environment. No elected official is above the law. The people of New York deserve better leadership in the governor's office. We continue to believe that the governor should resign. That is a joint statement from Senators Schumer and Gillibrand. Listeners, if you would like to get in on this conversation, we'd love to hear your thoughts about the news of the day. about the governor. 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280. So, Kate, you know, when we see Schumer and Gillibrand calling for resignation, what impact will that have? Does that have any, you know, I guess sort of official impact?
No, I don't think it does. They have moral authority here, but they don't actually have legal authority when it comes to this. As, you know, we've all been saying, it's in the hands of the assembly. I think what this whole thing has really laid bare, which is so interesting, is that Governor Cuomo still has a really large base of support that are from Democrats. He's got Republicans that support him. The question is, like, how much support is he going to hemorrhage? But he is, you know, Carl Hastie issued a statement that looks, you know, if I was Cuomo, I'd be a little nervous, but I'm seeing the report has been forwarded to members of the Judiciary Committee as well as members of the Assembly. We will now undertake an in-depth examination of the report and its corresponding exhibits within our Assembly councils as well as the legal firm we have retained to assist us. We will have more to say in the very near future. That is a clock running out statement. That does not, his idea of near future is not my idea of a near future. But as Brian was saying, you know, when the state moves to impeach and the Assembly Judiciary Committee has already convened, you know, an investigation into it, they have to convince half of the Assembly, a majority of the Assembly, to go ahead with an impeachment trial. We have a 150 member chamber, so we need 76 members of the Assembly to say, let's go ahead with the trial. In New York State's constitution, you know, in many respects, a New York State impeachment trial looks a lot like a federal impeachment trial with one big difference. When a governor in New York is under impeachment, the lieutenant governor becomes the acting governor. A governor under impeachment in New York has to relinquish power temporarily. So Kathy Hochul would become acting governor if there were an impeachment trial. And, you know, as we've heard Governor Cuomo say, basically, you need me on that wall right now. COVID is a real thing. We're trying to get the economy back up and running. We want schools to be open and kids' butts to be in the classroom. You need me. I'm the one you know. I'm the one you've built the trust with over my three-plus terms in office. I'm the one who has the connections with the Biden administration. It's not Kathy Hochul. It's me.
Let's take a call on line two, Rob. Rob, thank you so much for calling WNYC. You are on the air.
Hey, thanks, Austin and Brian and Kate. There's been so many developments in the time that I've been holding, but I'm behind the governor. I mean, him, his father, his brother, these are, I don't love the word alleged, and, with Me Too and the whole Bengegi, I'm uncomfortable with it. This man has been a good governor. His private life is not my business. Some people are a little touchy-feely, especially people that came from, the previous generation than the current ones. A kiss here, a pat on the shoulder there is not really, it's not news. And I mean, I wish that what's going to happen with this over the next, few months or a year until we get to his election, is going to be such, I don't know if I want to say a waste of time or hot air, but I wish that Tish James would charge Trump on everything that's been, floating around the air for the last, 3 years, 4 years. I mean, goes back to when Trump was being the birther guy, and I just don't want to get sucked into the drama. I don't want to hear about it every day with Cuomo. He's been there, and he's a strong leader, and he might be a little overly verbal for some people's taste, but I'm with him.
You're supporting the governor. I want to ask you something, and this is a judgment-free zone. You know that about this show. We like to hear all kinds of opinions. You said that there was something that made you a little bit uncomfortable about the way some of the Me Too allegations have been coming out or the way they have been characterizing. What's that behind that discomfort?
Well, I don't want to be a jerk, but I grew up in I'm 50 now. I grew up in show business with casting director bosses, throwing telephones, screaming stuff because, you know, pressure, stress. I had a hard time with like the Devil Wears Prada. I mean, you work for Anna Wintour, you know stuff's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I chose to be in the business that I was, knowing that there are strong personalities, knowing that it's a heightened sexual world. And I'm not saying that's an excuse for public office or the presidency or the government ship, but we've become, I don't want to consider it a weakness, and I just was having this conversation with my niece, mm-hmm, yesterday, who's 20 years old, and saying that generation is kind of controlling the older generation, and they're pulling the reins, and everyone
mm-hmm,
either gotten on board by choice or no choice. And I don't know, I just, if the governor is an Italian American, they're very huggy and kissy.
You take into his point that he was saying that this is generational, there are certain cultural differences. Rob, I really appreciate you taking the time to explain your point of view. Do very much appreciate it. I do want to play for folks who weren't at the top of the hour, maybe didn't hear the governor's first remarks, his response to the allegations against him. Let's play about a minute of his initial moments of his press conference from earlier today.
My attorney, who is a non-political former federal prosecutor, has done a response to each allegation, and the facts are much different than what has been portrayed. That document is available on my website. If you are interested, please take the time to read the facts and decide for yourself. First, I want you to know directly from me that I never touched anyone inappropriately or made inappropriate sexual advances. I am 63 years old. I've lived my entire adult life in public view. That is just not who I am. And that's not who I have ever been.
That was the governor from earlier today. Let's talk to Tom, who is called in from Buffalo on line 4. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling WNYC. You're on the air. Tom, could you hear us?
Yes, sorry.
No worries.
I wanted to say to the conservatives or supporters of President Trump that may be listening to please make note that we go after the Democrats, our attorney generals here in New York, Sheldon Silver, and now Governor Cuomo. So when allegations come from our attorney general in New York, they can be respected.
Tom, thank you so much for calling in. I want to bring WNYC's Kate Hines into this conversation because we should point out this report is 165 pages long. And as we've seen with some of the comments, and if you're on Twitter, Kate, you know that especially before the report, there was a generational divide that said, hey, this is the way things were done back then, and we didn't call it sexual harassment. But the report's details really do indicate something beyond an off-color remark.
Right, and I think this is an important thing to not lose sight of, the previous caller, not the one from Buffalo who just called, but, seemed to refer to it as a one-off thing. He's huggy, he occasionally does this, he occasionally does that. The legal definition of sexual harassment involves creating a culture where it turns into a hostile or offensive work environment. It is not a one-time thing. It's not a sexual harassment case if the governor squeezes you on the shoulder, looks you deeply in the eye, and then moves on. It's a culture, and it's a series of repeated offenses, which is what, the attorney general found to be credible and to be the case here, as well as retaliation from within the governor's office against people who have made accusations of sexual harassment against the governor. So I think it's important to just keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. And Allison, could I add that the governor's denial was so blanket that one has to believe that 11 different alleged victims are making things up or overinterpreting things that he did with respect to them and sexual harassment. And people are making up or overinterpreting the ways that he behaved and his top aides behaved in terms of retaliation and other ways that they're running their office. So that is a lot of people being wrong about things and him being right about things, if we're to take his version. And the last thing I'll say is we've been casually referring to this as a press conference, which we say whenever a politician addresses the media. But I believe that that was a pre-recorded video, from what I could tell. And he certainly did not take questions from the press afterwards, which Letitia James and the lead attorneys on her team did. They stood there and took questions. So that is something yet to come. The governor is going to have to take questions from the likes of us.
Quickly, I want to get one more call in. Angela calling in from Manhattan. Angela, quickly, can you tell us your point of view in like 35 seconds? Go for it.
35 said two things. I'm a survivor, and I was in a Me Too story, and this guy has lifted his fake apology from every single New York Times article where some blowhard says that he's sorry but not really sorry. That's number one. Number two, I'm Italian, and I run a company, and I don't go around kissing my employees on the forehead.
Angela, thank you so much for calling in. To all of our listeners who called in and expressed their opinions, thank you so much for joining us. Kate Hines from WNYC's planning editor, thank you, Kate. Jen Chung from Gothamist, thank you as always. And of course, Brian Lehr, couldn't have done it without you. Thanks everybody for being part of our breaking news coverage this afternoon.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.